Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this evening for another opportunity to search around the word. Thank you, Father, for the written word. We honor the written word this evening, and we receive light and revelation from it in Jesus' name. All right, plans, purposes, and pursuits. Like I said, it's a teaching that I derived from Brother Hagin's book. Brother Hagin is Kenneth E. Hagin. He is usually referred to as a father of the Word of Faith movement. I learned a lot from him, I still do. So he wrote a book years back, 1987, 88, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits that to keep the church in check. Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm shocked many people don't know him. They know Jazzy, Beyonce, and they know Kenneth E. Hagin. They're all born again. Seriously. So I don't even know Paul. Say, which Paul? Say, you know that guy who pastors a church in America? Remember one day, I was talking to a lady, and then I had this magazine with me. I think it was a Word of Faith magazine by Brother Hagin. And so she's talking. She's a member of a major church in Nigeria. She's been there for years. She said, oh, I like that magazine. I said, yeah. She said, oh, my pastor talks about three pastors in America. She said, Kenneth Hankins, or is it Hankins or something? She said, Kenneth Compland. And then she said, Bill Gates. I said, huh? Yeah. She said, Bill Gates has a large church in America. Can I have my magazine? Watch your pastor keep talking about Bill Gates, you'll think he's a man of God. Revelation 4:11. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Taking my time because I was not played yesterday. So I'm not in a hurry. And there's nobody to walk in love to us. That's why no need. That's why maybe. Not real. It's not real. The other lady there is not real. She just shouts in my house. And then, Jake's, no need. The TV has no super sports this evening, because there's no reason for it. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so, we said, whatever God created, it's not abnormal for it to do the will of God. Anything God creates can respond to His will. And we said in the Bible, animals responded to the will of God. Say it's not unnatural. Say it's not unnatural to obey God. Say I can obey God effortlessly. That's who you are. Alright. So, now, last week we took a dimension I want us to just focus on a little bit this evening. The way I normally prepare these notes is that I know where we're going, I know what to teach, but I listen to the Holy Ghost to know the emphasis we should have because of this kind of teaching, because I know you need to hear that. Now, there's a view we looked at last week, and I want us to consider it a little bit more, and that's the fact that we said whatever is not eternal in nature is not worth pursuing. Listen now. Whatever is not eternal in nature. Now listen. Now when I got born again, I remember the first things we were told was this. We're getting born again so that we'll make heaven. Now that had yes and no to what they thought. But anyway, it helped keep us a little bit sane. You couldn't keep any kind of friend. I remember then you had the kind of music you couldn't listen to. And then you can't, kind of friends you can keep, the kind of clothes you shouldn't wear. I wore a dress one time that had a dragon. And then someone who was a fellowship leader looked at me and said, you want to go to hell? And I felt like, what, with this shirt? No. So I took off the shirt and I ensured I wore a plain white shirt. Alright? So those kind of things kept you to think about heaven. And later on, you know, as the word of God kept growing, it now seemed like it wasn't really about heaven. I would live purposely on earth and then, you know, We'll grow, we learn believers' authority, how to use your faith, how to pray in the Spirit, and things like that, minister the gifts of the Spirit. But you see, sometimes we're quick to move from one extreme to another. And we feel, well, it's not about heaven, it's about earth. I used to hear words like this, if you're heavenly conscious, you're earthly useless. Somehow, that statement sounded like stupidity to me. If you're heavenly conscious, you're earthly useless. What a funny part. Everything that is ours in Christ is in heaven. Isn't it true? How do you tell me that I'm heavenly conscious, I'm heavenly useless? Now, all the blessings that God gave to us are where? In the heavenly, in Christ. Isn't that true? In fact, all the demons are also where? In the heavenly places. High places. High places. Or places on earth. Colossians 3:1 says, I should do what? He said, since I risen together with Christ, I should consider the things that are above. So I'm wondering, who could have said that? But somehow, because we like to be carnal, and we feel, well, that's true, I need to be heavenly relevant. So we go from one extreme to another extreme. While the other extreme was, just be looking towards heaven and make heaven. The next extreme is, forget heaven. Isn't that silly? No. The Bible doesn't teach that. So we said last week, and we said, thinking about heaven doesn't mean you're going tomorrow. But whether you go tomorrow or you go in 60 years time, you're going. Doesn't make any difference. It doesn't. So we said this, that you consider, you a believer must always acknowledge eternity. You must always look into eternity. No matter how you look at it, you look at eternity. Very important. So if I lay my hands on the floor, alright, and if I'm going to listen to God's will and purpose, I'm doing it because of eternity. Some things may not be popular, but they're eternal in nature. Are you still there? The First Corinthians 15:19. Paul says, if only in this life we have hope. Now, he didn't say we don't have hope in this life. That would mean there's nothing in this life for us. He didn't say that. He said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, look at that a little bit. If only in this life I have hope in Christ, I am of all men miserable. That is, if all my pursuits is about this life, I'm of all men miserable. Because many folks don't know this. They just throw their entire life on earthly pursuits. I want to become this. I want to become that. I want to become this one. I want to become that. I want to have four kids. Four kids. You know, I want to have a house, you know, I was talking in the morning, I said, LND, I said, man, I read something about Jay-Z and then Beyonce. And the both of them are going to buy a house of about $100 million. I said, my, that's almost $200 billion now. $20 billion now. You know, for a house to live inside. My, oh my. And then there's a guy, Dr. Dre. And then he got his rights, his company bought over by Apple for about $1 billion. Mama! Then you say, we hear that, I'll make it. You're crazy. You're crazy. You are in Christ. He said, if it's only in this life we have hope, we are of all men miserable. There's no difference between you and the man who is not saved. Your pursuits are the same. Your ideals are the same. He said no. Verse 58 says, be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a meaning, always abounding in academics. It's good. Always abounding in their career. They are MSc. LRP, LLD, OGSSMOT, they have OI, LLOWZ. You have one person. By the time you're through, you know, Nigeria now, we have titles. Town Planner Cooling. We have Sobio Puke. Now, we start having, you know, very, very soon, we have Teacher Osas. Just put T-S-T-C-H. You start having those guys who are mechanics, you start saying, mech, jitty. You have all sort of folks, you have Eddie, or Eddie, you know that, Airball, you know, because there's no title, everything's got to get a title. So you have GST, and that's all you have. All right, and you're plowing the stuff. I got this thing before I was 50. Yes, really. Part of it about life is the next 20 years, those qualifications become irrelevant. It doesn't take long to know that what you do is not eternal. Just stay long a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. You know, it doesn't take long to know that what you're pursuing really, you know, years ago, someone went to rob. He robbed a whole street. He took the money. He went to buy a 505 Evolution. In those days, if you had that, you don't have to toast a girl. She toasts you. Hello, you love me? 505 Evolution. Does it not amaze you today if you have 505 Evolution? Everybody says, for what? You know, you stay a little bit longer in the earth, and then that thing you're pursuing makes no sense. Are you following me? So you must have eternity in view. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, specific. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word vain is the same word temporal. That which doesn't last long. He says it's not in vain in the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, bodily exercise profits little. That word little, interestingly, when people talk about bodily exercise profits little. Because they go to the gym. Say, bodily exercise profits little. Profit little. Go and he's lying because he did all day in the gym. He's not little anymore. Well, yes, that's prophecy though. And I showed one guy once. I said the word little actually means, it's not little like quantity. It means that which is temporary. That's what it means. Say, I thought it was small. No, it's not that small. It's going to die. That's what it means. Well, yes, that's prophecy. But godliness is profitable for the life that now is and that which is to come. You still there? So, you need to always have eternity in view. Never, never lose sight of eternity. No matter how long you live on earth, eternity is longer. Am I right? Okay, good. So, it was always out there. Someone asked me a question. Let me just talk about it quickly. He said, sir, do I need to pray for wisdom? And I said, yeah. No, I was saying something. And he said, I said, pray for wisdom. He's a preacher. So I said, pray for wisdom. See? And he said, but sir, you know, it's an emergency word, man. He said, sir, I said, what? He said, Christ has made unto me wisdom. Yeah. Alright. So where's the wisdom? He said, in my spirit. I said, hold on. He's also made unto you what? Redemption. Where's the redemption? In your spirit? I said, no. I said, James 1:5 says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I said, the two wisdom is referring, they are different. I said, the wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1:30 is the wisdom of the mystery of God. Alright? Because he says the wisdom of God, I think I'm remembering verse now. He mentions the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1. He mentions the wisdom of God in a mystery, right? 1 Corinthians 1. Quickly look at that. In a mystery. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. It says, Christ is called both, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God. Now, he's talking about revelation there. So again, he mentions in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, he's talking about information there. Information about redemption. That's what he's talking about. The cross. The sacrifice of Jesus. Alright? Are you still there? Are you listening now? That's what he's talking about there. He's not saying that the minute that you're born again, you are all wise. That's not true. Because Paul rebuked some folks in Galatians 3:1, said, oh, ye foolish Galatians. Because they were what? Foolish. Foolish means without wisdom. And he prays in Ephesians 1:17, it says, the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. But God grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So always know, look at things within the context that they are used. Is that clear? So wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:30. All right? Wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2:7, talking about the mystery of redemption. How God hid his plan from man. That's what he says. Christ is that wisdom. Are you there? Right, now, there's wisdom for living. Alright? And then the information for the, for instance, the gospel is called revelation. Am I right? revelation of God. But then the same person who has the revelation of God, that is going to pray for revelation in his word. Still there? You understand that now? So don't take things and just get stuck. I got wisdom. No, you don't have wisdom right now because you're stupid. You make some silly mistakes, you just pray, and then you receive wisdom. Amen. It's your right and privilege in Christ. You receive it, and then you're wiser. Is that clear? Good. All right. So look at this. Have, we said, eternity in view. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. And that's quick. He says, now if any man, verse 12, build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest when, for that day, the day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And he's saying that the only things that will last are the things that are eternal. If a man's work bad which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He will get no reward. Alright? But even though shall be saved, yet as by fire. So when we stand before Jesus, alright, I must be able to look at what I'm doing and say, how can I stand with this before Jesus? Can I stand with this before Jesus? So if I build my whole life on something, and it doesn't really matter in eternity, I wasted my life. I remember Whitney Houston sang a song, and I thought that was the most stupid thing she said. She said, tomorrow is judgment day, and I'm standing on the rock, and the Lord asks me, the Lord asked me what I did with my life. I will say, I stand here with you. I say, you're an idiot. Now she's done and gone. The guy is still around. What you spent your life with is still around. And you are gone. You see? Some folks are like that. They pursue. So they take temporal things so passionately. Some guys ruin mine. Part two. Wedding in heaven. Because their whole life is marriage. The Lord asks you what you do in your life. I would say, I stay with him. That's all you did with your life? Praise the Lord. So I say, well, I'm not like that. I'm not married. Well, maybe you should be. I started looking for him. You may get a difference, doesn't it? It's silly. You're going to stand before Jesus. And you're going to ask, what did you do with my giftings? What did you do with the Holy Ghost? He's not going to ask you what you did with your genes or what you did with your footballing talent. When he died, what did he give you? Come on, talk to me. He gave you the Holy Ghost. He gave you the gifts of the Spirit, right? And what did you do with that? What did you do with the fruit of the Spirit? What did you do with it?
I need more. I don't need my gospel, right?
No.
What do you want me to do with Gator? Nothing.
What did you do? What did you do with love? What did you do with the grace of God? What did you do with time that you had? Lives that you met on your campus, lives you met on your street, lives you met in your church. Eh?
I didn't know.
Now you do. You look into eternity and you say, what will I stand with? Someone say that?
Yeah.
Alright, good. So you must look at eternity. Life must be purpose by design, like headed by Fred Hammond. Purpose by design. So I must look at what I'm doing today. How scriptural is this pursuit of mine? How scriptural is this pursuit of mine? I must view it. How scriptural is this pursuit of mine? This I'm giving my whole life for. And we'll come back to something we raised last week, an issue of money. And the truth is, money is a system in this world. Money. Everything is valued. Why do you think some ladies nail some guys. Why do you see some guys? Don't look at some ladies. The guy says, can I speak with you? She's walking fast. For what? Can I have a chat with you? Say, I'm already saved. Don't bother evangelizing me. No, it's not about evangelism. Then what do you want? And she's following. He says, what do you want? She's wondering, how in the world do you think, all you have is a sandal for the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's all you have. You've got nothing else. You know, she's saying, what do you want? And she looks at you. And then she sees the left hand has a keyhole and then just one key. And he has a Mercedes Benz. He said, okay, what exactly do you want to say? And he says, please, you know how to get to Yaba. She says, is that all you want? Are you sure that's all you want? He said, no, I just want to know. No problem. Let me take you there. How you doing there now? People value you. They look at you. Say, well, the guy comes down to the car, he gives you his car. MDCO. Check the office address. But the office address is somewhere else, further away. You understand that, dude? See, Banana Island. Office in there. Say, I'm very honored to have this car. Because the whole world leads by value. His son goes to work and then the boss says, I don't think you can stay longer in this job. He loses his peace, his righteousness, consciousness, the glory of God, the blood of Jesus, everything goes. Sir, why, sir? He said, why, sir? Say, I don't care. Yeah, I said, sir. Oh, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Sir. I don't think you can stay longer in the job. Why is he begging? It's not because he respects the man. He's begging because he's thinking, oh, I just took him the fifth child in 6 years. He's thanking God for the Ebola because they have postponed the date, but he has a movement back and he goes, why? Are you sure there's no other name? Ebola? This is first time. Look, these people should. It's not good to our government. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you still there? Now, if you're not a parent, you don't know what I just said. I know exactly what I just said. Because I felt the same way. I said, why are they opening the schools now? My son says, but it's not next week. I said, they said so. Alright. So, you know, everything is money. But you see, I want you and I to put money in the proper perspective. Look at Luke 12. Jesus talks about a man. And the man was a rich man. You can read the parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man, verse 16, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, brought forth plentifully. That means he made money. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my food. Those were the issues. It's not the prosperity that was the issue, but the fact that the prosperity lost purpose. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my bands, breathe great, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good. Notice the point. The point was, he was walking and making money for self-satisfaction. He said, soul. Soul. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have accomplished. You laid up for many years. Take none ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then he says, fool, this night a soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself that is not rich towards God. That's vital. Vital. Lays up treasure for who? Himself. He's living life for himself. Alright? Now, the love of money, we're going to see that in a moment, it makes you pursue things for yourself. Listen carefully. You cannot pursue money and be in the will of God. Never. You cannot be in the pursuit of money, and you're motivated by money, and you will be in the will of God. There are two things that can never meet. Never forget that, even if you're in the ministry. We'll see that in a moment. Now, in Mark 10, he met a young man, and he says, oh, the guy's rich, rich young ruler. He says, well, I've obeyed the law from my youth till now. There's one thing you lack. Sell all you have. He gives it to the poor, right, and he comes to me. Now, many times, preachers are preaching like he sell all you have and bring the money to the church. No, he didn't say that. He said, give it to the poor, and then come to me. And the man said, huh? He lost his peace. He didn't ask a question after that. I mean, you know, I said, Master, well, he didn't, huh? This is the kind of church you're supposed to come to? No, I can't come to the kind of church here. So he goes, looking to serve. And Jesus said, it is hard for those who trust in riches. Those who trust in riches. Some folks are just like that. You cannot hold your peace the minute there's no money. There's no money. Some guys just like that. Watch this. So he says, he, not just, Brother Hagin put it like this. Like Brother Hagin said, the man didn't just have riches, the riches had the man. They control him. Money must never be allowed to control you. You must know how to say no to money. I had a little Christian sister. I spoke to her, she was on campus. And I saw that she had this, you know, I knew she, you know, she came from a family, you know, they just a moderate family. And then she's wearing shoes, using phones. And, you know, I was a pastor, so I used to go to the school. Phones and big stuff. And I said, well, your appetite is strange. You're not working. But someone's walking and giving you all the stuff. Especially wristwatches. She's looking. She said, just a friend. We'll give you, just a friend. We'll give you some. I was really like, you know, and we'll give you some. Somebody's trusting me. Would you? And then you are just in the pre-degree of prostitution. You're about to pass a matriculate. And you're going to do well. I'm sure you'll have a car. You're doing good. Because if all you wear has to be put together to make a golden calf, then there's trouble ahead. You don't get that, did you? You know, everybody puts down their gold to make the golden calf. Your belt, somebody. Your wrist. You guys need to be prayed for. What are you looking for in life? A young man told me, he said, sir, I believe in 1 year after university, I'll make $1 billion. He said, you know, start quickly. Two things you can do. Train ammunition. Two, know how to use the internet. Pre-degree. What kind of desire is that? What does he want $1 billion for? To do what? He wants to walk on the street and all the roads will move up to him. I'm here. So, that's the point. So, now I'm fulfilled. Some of our money is, you know, the Bible says the man built plentiful, he tore it down, he built more. You'll never be satisfied. Because you're on a wild goose chase. Christians do not aspire for Forbes magazine. We aspire for the judgment seat of Christ. Are you there? So money. Money is a terrible master. Jesus said it in Matthew 6, quickly get there. Matthew 6, Jesus says, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will rule to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? He didn't say mommy, he said mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. Talking about money. Mammon is described as money. You can't serve God and mammon. And he tells exactly what he's saying. How do I serve mammon? He says, when all that dominates in my thoughts is what to eat, what to drink, and what to put on. Last one is particular for women. And so the woman say, she says, I don't have what to wear. You check a wardrobe. Two wardrobes. What do you say? I don't have what to wear. So, I believe Jesus is saying that last one for them. And the body, then raiment. Praise God. Just joking. Amen. Some verses there from some folks. Some are there. So, you see, he said, all that dominates your thinking is you. Right. You know, when you graduate from school, and then you go for all sorts of prayer meetings. You will not look for a job for one day. That's not good. You will look for a job. What the kind of job that look for you? Not too good a prayer. Say it loud. You are not going to the labor market. You are going to the paper market. So all in your mind. You go to church. Look at everybody. Who can help me? You go to the car park. Just people. So that brother, you didn't pray. He's speaking in tongues so hard. He has no car. That's why his tongues are too high. Aha! So we need to make friends based on that, right? Make friends. Who are your friends? You know, someone say, I can't afford to meet you on my limb so that I can rise. Oh. Where are you going to? So, why you're dumb and what do I wear? So, you take a stroll down your road or street, you see an ex-colleague, you saw an ex-classmate, saw him last in secondary school. He said, Pampa! You walk and say, Pampa! He said, James! How are you today? He isn't coming now. The one is already glad. Come. As you're doing that, your mind is going crazy. Look at that. You stay in this area? Down that road. Which way is that? Oh, that's pretty good. And I come there a little bit. I see some guy. Say, yeah, you know, you're doing good. Though. Say, we thank God. And he says, let's meet up now, you know. Say, yeah. I'm so happy. I know God programmed me to see you. When you leave that place, you don't want to listen to tape. What tape? You don't want to go for follow-up. What follow-up? I'm already up. You are thinking. Ha! James. I was the best student. Chapel prefect. James. Maybe what's his name again? Maybe his name is Peter. Peter that I used to preach to. He's not a Christian. God. Somebody saw my broadcast. Say, why me? Why not you? Say, la, I'm going to get that. Call. So, Brother Becky calls you. Brother, you see his phone. Bro, Becky, touch. Bob Beckley, touch. Did you ring out? There is another brother, maybe Brother Jide, church. Brother Jide, fellowship. Did you ring out? Then that guy called Peter. I know Peter. Yeah, it is. It's an error. I know, let's talk. Am I making sense? Alright. What happened? Why do you behave like that? Your thoughts are being dominated. What's going on? Your needs are controlling you. Okay? Now, I want to show some of this thing. When you read the Old Testament, you read about Abraham. People are always talking about that. I'm a seed of Abraham. He's a Jebu man. You know, don't say that in the land of the Jews. I'm a seed of Abraham. Who are you? Say, Obuyemi. What? You know what she falls out of the You are right now watching. You are seed of Abraham. Did you observe that a new covenant doesn't emphasize Abraham's wealth at all? Let me talk about it. In fact, Hebrews 11 says Abraham considered himself, Hebrews 11, verse 13, 14, and 15, a pilgrim and a stranger on earth. In other words, Abraham's wealth was never going to define him. That's why New Testament doesn't talk about his wealth at all. New Testament talks about his righteousness by faith. That's all. Hebrews 11 talks about how he forsook an earthly identity. He said, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim on earth. He's in Zion now. He's got no camel or donkey in there. All he has is faith in Christ. Is that true? Okay. Look at Jesus' commentary on Solomon. He said, Solomon in all his glory, Matthew 6:29, is not arrayed like any of his things. Or wants. If wealth wasn't emphasized, then I shouldn't emphasize it. I shouldn't emphasize it at all. Money should never be my first consideration in life. Everything shouldn't be money. There are folks like that, when two brethren have issues around money, they lay aside his majesty. They lay aside the right hand of God. Right hand of God becomes their own right hand. And then they go, hey, look at me very well. I'm not a stupid man. And they throw everything to the devil. Because they cannot imagine, you know, years ago, there was this issue I had with a friend. They had good money. I was disturbed because I felt, how would someone behave like this? So my dad asked me, so what's the problem? I told him. He just said, come. He said, sit down. I sat down. And he sat down. So he brought out, I don't know what, no, not, I forgot. He said, what is this? I said, money. He said, everybody's chasing it. Go. So I'm thinking, what did he just say? He said, everybody's chasing it. But what he said was reality in the world. He's saying, don't be shocked when people behave anyhow because of money. Because they're actually looking for it. That hit me big. I found it true. But it shouldn't be true. Not among those who are born again. You mustn't use money to make friends. Some of us do that. Our friends are worthy. Our friends are all built on selfishness. On the kind of, you know, the kind of benefit we get from them. The money we can make from them. That's why and how we make friends. Money can't afford to be your motivation. Whether it's ministry or career, it makes no difference. In 1 Timothy 6 and 10, Paul was talking to a preacher. Now listen carefully. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. Which Saul converted after they heard from the faith. They are Christians. To hear from the faith doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That's why you're going to hell. You're going to heaven, but you're going to go to heaven. Someone who heard from the faith. Heard, the word faith there is used for doctrine. is that they will err from true doctrine. There are people, there are preachers today who teach error all because of money. They'll say just about anything because of money. They'll say, sow this seed, sow this tree. They'll say, come and talk. There was one stupid guy like that who said, you know, he's collecting money from people. He said, the anointing is on my leg. He said, his leg. Everybody comes to hope this church. 1995, 1994. It was there. So the anointing is, so he said, the anointing is there. So one time we were doing communion service. Anyway, you do that, you bring money. Because when you touch his leg, you put that money. So he brings out the communion, all the communion elements. He has a, the wine, then the bread. So the anointing is in my throat. He goes, ha, poof. You'll be shocked. And I say, praise the Lord. And you're drinking. See that? Why? Because everybody is chasing it. See that? Everybody is chasing it. So, just offer it. Everybody is chasing it. Organizing means the theme of the next seminar is consecration. You will have to consecrate to have people to come. So next meeting is how to have high finances. How to move to the next level in life. And you're bringing in, say, I'm bringing in so and so person. He is this and this in the world. He did this in 1966. He bought over the world. And then he sold it back to the devil. Then he got it back. You see crowds. Why? Everybody is chasing it. Is that true? So, you're in ministry for money. There are many guys that are ministry for money. You see, some folks are put that on tight. Are you ready? Some guys just didn't read it. They go, he's opposing tight. He wants to kill us. You know. Hey, is that why you're in ministry? Paul said, I won't abuse my power. He said, I will refuse to take offering from you. I'll preach the gospel. That the gospel be not hindered. What kind of motivation is that? How can preachers say, how much are you going to give me before they preach for you? Can you afford me? What's about you? We afford the Holy Ghost every service. Who are you? Can you afford me? Can you pay for my flight? I'll fly first class. And I'm going to bring, he will come alone and say, I'm going to bring my team. We have a team here, I'm going to bring my team. There's a preacher like that. If you invite him, he brings together about 30 or 40 prayer warriors all the way from the States. Do you need to change location to pray? Pray there. He brings them. So the pastor is under pressure. When he brings the man of God, so do not restrain all sorts of trees, forests in the meeting. Because the guy is expensive. The guy did a deliverance service on Sunday. And he's saying, if you have such a, he mentioned some of the spirits like that, quite African. And then he came. When there's some spirit you can't do in the States, he said, what are you talking about? So they come out, and he's saying, before you get his deliverance, you sow seeds. So I said, you bring envelopes for deliverance. Aren't you a deliverance? If you can bring the envelope, you are set free. The money doesn't come out. Come out! You see, you need to tell yourself, why am I in ministry? For money? Now, one more thing. Paul says in verse 5 to 6, when you see anybody, Christian, I talk as applicable to all. 1 Timothy 6, let's look at it. Verse 5. Many of us don't know how to do this. He says, perverse the spirits of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, pray for him. What do you say? What do you say? Withdraw. When you see anybody that has a lot of money, stop praying for the person. First of all, we pray from afar. Withdraw first. Withdraw yourself. But why is all your life about money? Our preachers, I used to listen to, and I stopped listening to that because everything they talk about money. Huh? I'm seeing some preachers years ago, and I'm trying to talk about, you know, and he was like, oh, Our offering last week was 100,000 naira. And an offering, and I'm thinking, you know, we're thinking of this, and say, you know, we're trying to hold a crusade there. So I was telling them, we're going to hold crusades. And last crusade we had deaf ears and some banners open with the power of God. Yeah, yeah. Say, don't worry, Father Shags. We'll reach all those people anyway with money. We'll be on TV. Say, you know, you keep going there. Or just keep going there. They mentioned something about me there. I just, because I came with Okada. They had cars. They rigged those bases. We couldn't discuss the word. It was the kind of money they were raising from the meetings. From such, what do you do? Withdraw. That's what the Bible says. The actions. Do you rate people with the kind of money they have? Some of you will see someone on the road. He's got no money. The guy is working like this. He has sleepers that is sleeping off life. And his belt is not a belt anymore. And you say, hey! Even if you have dementia, you can see this fellow's holding, you say, hey! Why? Because you think you have money. Yeah? You go to the house of the richest man in Nigeria, you see his daughter, I see. What do you want? Bless you. Muslim, they bless you. Who's blessing her? You're a crook in Christianity. You're alright. James says you mustn't treat people according to their money. Treat people according to money. How the church, they say, you have a car park for the rich, a car park for the others. You bring in your car, baby boy. Stop, you say, yeah, bring them home to the church. It's a rich church. So, but that place is free. Can't you see the kind of car they have there? Eh? He gave some apostles. Some. I don't know. You can't even stroll there. So where are you coming from? Please, what do you want here? Stay church. I want to come for a session. Oh, hold on. You can go to that church there. You mean rubbish? Revelation 3. 17. It says, you say I'm rich. Jesus said that. He said, but you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind. That's what he said. So you say I'm rich, but you are stupid. Damn, I'm rich. So you say you're because you have goods. Not rich in good works. Money must never be my guide. What did I say? Money is a bad guide. Never put money first. Never. To get a new job. To get married. Never put money first. Never. In ministry, whatever, don't put money first to take your decisions. Some guys today, they are abroad and their lives are also abroad. Come on, make money. You need to go there. Christians. I know Christians today who are in Europe, born again, and they're doing all sorts of unchristianly things because they got stuck. They put money first. Put money first. Don't put money first. If you're called to preach somewhere, don't put money first. Don't say, can you pay my way? Can you pay my way? Don't put money first. Money should never be first. I'm not saying don't put money at all, but it should never be first. Money, when it's a motivation, will never allow you to obey God. You can't obey money and obey God. So, if Paul says, I have kept the faith, and the love of money makes people hear from the faith, if you want to keep the faith, do not love money. I hope you get that. 2 Timothy 4:7. I've kept the faith. And he says in 6 and 10. Love of money is root of all evil. We saw them after they converted after they have heard from the faith. So if I want to stay on course, I mustn't love money. I mustn't love money. Again, a lady told one of my friends, was a friend's friend, and she said, I can never, ever, ever, ever marry you. So why? You? Say you're a preacher. He said, you have no life. He said, you can't even know where the next money is going to come from. He said, my family has suffered enough, and I can never, ever. The point of him is, she used to come to church, worship the Lord, and do fine, but that's not who she was. Yeah. Me? Never, ever, ever. And the guy looks like, huh? Am I the accursed thing? He said, never, never, ever. He has the gifts of the Spirit. Never, ever, ever. He has the word. Never, ever, ever. He can see things into heaven. Never, ever. Let him look at earth first. Ever, ever, ever. What a motivation. Praise the Lord. Money is always the wrong motivation. Never put money first. Never put money first. Never put money first. Are you still there? Never put money first. Many of us are doing wrong jobs today because you put money first. In the wrong job. Money first. So you got locked up. You're struggling to pray. You wake up at night. Don't you get home late? Are you still closing your eyes? Oh, it's five. See, don't worry. I carry God everywhere. That's it. Everywhere I'm carrying God. Oh, I'm a carrier of divine nature. Get in the car. I'm carrying God everywhere. What's this guy? Why is he talking like this? You can't replace a time apart with Lord. We're driving and praying in tongues. Truth is, you don't have time for the Lord. You don't. Are you still there? You learning something? Money can never be a good guy. Money must be a servant. It has to be a servant. Tell the story of a friend I had that he went abroad. He started a fellowship. Then he handed over. Did I tell the story? Because he was going to earn more money. He didn't have time. I said, Freddie, you're taking two jobs. He's taking the third job. Tax-free. You know the point is, all I get to say, yeah, come on. You're doing good, oh, the glory of God. Because you're making money. You're making money, you're losing your soul. Now, in the initial stages, you feel bad. You know, because you're a Christian. Oh man, no, there's no bad. I'm never thinking, just take your time. Because you're crying, not because you're worshiping the Lord, crying because you're feeling guilty. They say, lay down my life. Daily, you should have changed your lay down my jaw. Be specific. Daily follow me. After a while, you become steep. You have to go. You just hear someone say, we are all not the same. We are functioning in different capacities. Some are using the pulpit. Others are in the apostles of the marketplace. That's why you be like a marketplace. Hey! I just go to tell pastor. Everything is ministry. The word. Gifts of the power of God. There are other things now. See, so this man is getting it. He's getting it. Nobody, the body of knowledge. Nobody knows everything. Nobody! See what love of money is telling you to do. Money will kill you. Say yes. If one tongue cannot have everything, whoever said, why are you arguing? Why are you arguing? Yes! Yes! There are other people doing the will of God. Yes! I know your brother in my office. He's a Christian. He's telling his Bible. He doesn't, yes, I'm not going for evangelism and all those fun words, but I know he's prayerful. What? We have different ministries. See what money is telling you to. All the man is money. You are going mad. Hallelujah. See, I refuse the love of money. Money is a bad guide. Never forget it. Don't put money first. Now, it doesn't mean that you say yes to a very lazy, drawn out young man in your church. The pastor says, don't put money first. Father said, don't put money first now. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready. Can I have transport fare? I'm going to say something. I'm going to connect you somewhere. I'm going to say, yeah. I don't want to put money first. Psalm 127, quickly, today's teaching. Praise the Lord. Psalm 127. Say, I don't put money first. You should train your mind, I don't put money first. Don't say, the thing is cool. Yeah, you know the person is there again. You'll be earning. Say, I've changed my place of work. Say, how much are they paid? That's the next thing. 500K. Wow. You know, God has a way of opening doors. What kind of door? You didn't even ask other details. Money is a bad guy. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes up, but in vain. Wakes but in vain. Now, we said the word vain means temporary in vanity. So we said, to follow God's plan for your life, you need to find out the place. Remember that? Watch your location and watch your change of location. How do you mean? Ensure. Sometimes we talk like, some folks think all we're talking about is from Nigeria to UK or the US. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, listen to your spirit every time you want to make a change in anything. Listen to your spirit. Listen to your spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again, affair, but through adoption hereby we cry, have 16 says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, that word bear witness there is an experiential word. It means we have impressions from God. You want the impressions that come from God. About what you're about to do, the country you want to travel to, the state you want to move to. Listen to your spirit. In changing locations all the time, just listen to your spirit. Yes, Romans 8:14. Just like Paul's ministry, he went around, you know. And then also, you can also listen to prophecies. Sometimes some prophecies will be directed at you. At you. Sometimes. First Timothy 1:18, remember? It says, prophecies have gone ahead of you, that with them you will wage a good warfare. Ahead of you, that means to guide you. Sometimes just listen. Sometimes just listen. Remember, someone came to me and made an error. And I said, did you listen to the prophecy at this meeting? Said, she forgot. I said, well, that prophecy said, don't do anything new. That's crazy. I can go say I should do anything new. Say, don't do anything new. Say what you're doing. Many people doing it. Stay. New every morning. Say, let's stay. And at that point, you're making plans. You're not listening. God gets your attention. He's getting your attention in teaching movements, in public movements, by the Holy Ghost. Look at Paul's case. Acts 16. This is a public meeting. Acts 16:6. So the Holy Ghost forbade us. The Holy Ghost forbade us. He didn't allow us. Now when he says us, means that there was a public meeting. And there was a prophecy, an utterance. The Holy Ghost didn't allow us to go. So you must know where, kind of location, where you should be. Number two, we said possession, your ability. God's purposes are all revealed in your gifting. Now, your gifting has something to do with the body of Christ. You must find out your gifting. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28 said, he said some in the church, first the apostles, secondary prophets, after the authorities, after that miracles, God helps, government gives some healings, and that's of a tongue, that's your tongue. So he set them in the church. You find out your place in the body of Christ. Find out your place in the body of Christ. Some of us are doing what we shouldn't be doing. There's some folks who are pastoring who ought not to be pastoring. Find out your place in the body of Christ. Look at the giftings that you have. Find out your place. And that happens, we said last week, by the right kind of association. Timothy discovered his gifting, 1 Timothy 4:14, among the elders and by prophecy. You discover your gifting, right? Paul, same thing. Acts 13, verse 1 to 4. You know exactly the right company. You cannot discover your giftings, you know, in a football match. No way. You got to have it at the right company. There will be the right people and the right place. For instance, ask yourself some questions quickly. Say, who am I modeling my life after? Now, many of us don't change our model perception even after we're saved. See, listen now. If you, now, there's some things in our life. You know, there's a life where we're unsaved, unbelieving, then we get born again. At every stage like that, where it's monumental, you must make changes to how you used to think. Now, you're saved, then you think saved. Now, you begin to grow spiritually. Maybe initially you're just one Christian, just having a great time. Then somehow you came in contact with the Word. Then your thinking also must change. Now, before then, you didn't know that you could be involved in the work of ministry. Now, you get to know. Now, you're involved. Your thinking must change. Your thinking must be in tandem with the changes that have been made in your spiritual life. Are you listening now? Now, some of us don't change the models. We still have the same models that we have. I grew up wanting to be like my dad. I liked his intelligence, his wits, his humor. I still do. Life time was very brilliant. I grew up wanting to be like three people. My dad was one of them. Second person was Professor Wally Wishwick. I liked him to bits. Liked him a lot. Liked the literature aspect of the man, arts and a couple of other things. So you have that, and the third person is also the late Obaka Meolo. I liked him so well too, so well. Like his wizardry, everything about that. But you see, when you come into Christ and you discover purpose by the Word, that must change. You can't afford to think like that. I never wanted to be like my dad anymore. Was he, did he become a bad man? No, it's a good man. The man of integrity. The man known in many places and they love him. And, but I didn't want to be like him anymore. Because when I got saved, he was still an unbeliever. Couldn't be like him anymore. I had to look for a model in Christ. Had to look for a model in the ministry that I found. Many of us don't change it. So we begin to struggle with life because we have the wrong models and we're going to the wrong destination. Are you listening? You change the kind of models. So number three, that's today. The pasture. Three. You said firstly, place two, possession three, pasture. P-A-S-T-U-R-E. P-A-S-T-U-R-E. Pasture. That's talking about spiritual food. Listen now. You can never, how many of you know, now how many doctors we have here? This advice is wrong. Doctor of nutritionist, can you grow beyond your food intake? Huh? Can you grow beyond your food intake? Yeah? Your food intake is the essence of growth. It allows for growth. You cannot grow beyond your food intake. You cannot be stronger than what you eat. So, you ask yourself, have I found the Word? Have I found pasture? The local church is a place for development.
Let me give you an instance of myself. Now, I knew I was called to the ministry in 1990. I started to, you know, get involved in ministry activity in 1991. By 1992, I began ministry much more actively, and I held my first teaching convention and things like that. But I observed something. I had this idea about ministry. So all I was doing was preaching, you know, and I used to believe. Now, I had, personally, I had a vision from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that to make you look stupid. I had a vision from the Lord. I had a divinely great appearance, and I had a vision from the Lord. And he said things to me that I heard to heart. Now, that never made me any more spiritual than any other thing in the world. So I went out and I said, so we began this ministry. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but I did. I showed Alex, I think. I said, World Resource Seminar. That's the thing, in fact. I'll tell you why I put resource. World Resource Seminar. Discovering resources to touch your world. So I said, listen, lighting the word with the word, releasing your potential. Isn't it confused from here to here? Releasing your potentials. Because of the vision I had, so releasing your potentials. So I was teaching people 15 principles to release your potential. Yep. And I could quote the Bible a lot. Potentially. Resource. What was my problem? No pasture. So, you need to locate the right place where you will grow spiritual. Stephen and Philip were discovered in the church. Acts 6. Stephen and Philip. There was an uproar in the church concerning the food ministry of the widows. And then they said, we would not leave the word of God and set table. Choose for among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, whom we are to appoint over this business, Acts 6:3. And we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, Acts 6:1-4. And there was Philip and Stephen. Stephen preached the word, Acts 6:8. He's preaching. He has miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ. But what happened? They were being fed in the place. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, and in the apostles' doctrine. So they were being fed the word. If there's any better time where you need to be fed the word, it is when you're walking in God's purpose and plan for your life. When you discover a pattern, word and fellowship. That means in those kind of places, I begin to learn things. Many folks are disconnected today because they are not connected in the right place where they're being fed the word. Many of you never knew you were called to the ministry. You never knew you could be useful in the ministry until you got to the right local church. I said, wow, I didn't know this. Well, you couldn't have. You have to be fed the right way. What did they learn there? They must have learned giving. They learned to give. They must have learned prayer. Have you read about Barnabas? Barnabas in Acts 4 was someone who sold these things and he gave. He had learned giving. He learned giving. You learn prayer. Acts 4:22-23. They lifted their voice in prayer. They're learning prayer. We're learning prayer. You must ask yourself, am I fulfilling God's purpose in this local church? Is this local church where I'm being fed fulfilling God's purpose for my life? That's critical, very vital. You ask those questions. Many join this. Just go anywhere. You can't just go anywhere. I met a couple. They were living in a local church.
for whatever reasons they had. They lived in local church. I didn't want to question where they were living, and I knew the local church, you know, in that local church, they used to be given to the work of ministry, and they had planted some fellowships and all that. So they came to me for counseling. And then they said, well, we're going to social services. They mentioned the church. I said, huh? No. I said, that's a plain entertainment church. They said, it's true. You don't like the place. I said, you're moving gradually into backslide. You're going to stay on fire. I said, it's true, sir. There's no point. David said, you cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land. There's some place you don't expect the flow of the Holy Ghost. How? How's it going to happen? Suddenly? No. Get to the right place. There's a fellow. He's going to a church by a friend of mine. We started together. And he's telling me, sir, I'm wondering when they're going to start the Saints Community Church in that country. I said, I thought I sent you to the church. Say, I've been there. I'm just wondering, you know, I said, you're an unserious person. That pastor is one of the most respected people I know in Bible doctrine and in the flow of the Holy Ghost. I said, if you will not be serious in there, don't move close to our own church. And don't ever come. Since you are there, don't ever come here again. Yeah. That ain't true. He's not ready to grow. You just want to go all over the place. There are some books you don't read. You see the titles, you don't go near it. For what? You see some titles, you say, there's come on, this book is hot. Please hold it. What is cold, give it to me. Ephesians 4:11, let's see that quickly. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Notice Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints, I must be growing for the work of the ministry. He didn't say the saints are mature, they now do the work of ministry and it's not for maturing. No. He's saying the maturity is for ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4:12, in view of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now the unity of the faith is not the same as John 17:21-22, where Jesus said that they may be one as we are one. That's talking about one with the Father, fellowship with the Father. That's what he's saying there. Unity of the faith also is not all of us coming together. And some guys say, well, we'll come together with the Catholic Church. Someone said that. He said the Catholic Church and we're coming together. I said, well, you can come together in a program, you can come together in a hall, but you can never come together in the spirit. So organize what kind of jamboree you want to do. We say we have an advocate with the Father, and they say Mary is with the Father. And we have two different things. We say in the name of Jesus. They say Mary, the mother of Jesus. In fact, the mother of God. So two incarnate. Jesus and Mary. Incarnate. So we understand. We put faith in Christ and salvation. They think faith and walks in penance. Very large church. Very influential. Very influential. But that's not a Christian church. Is that clear? You know. They look more like the forerunners or the mentors of Moses because they pray the same way. You know. It can't stop, right? So, unity of the faith is specific. Verse 5 says there's one faith, right? So, unity simply means to come into the same place with that faith. Yes, unity of the faith. Alright? And it says, the knowledge of the Son of God. So, what's the unity of the faith? To come into full appreciation, epignosis, of the knowledge of the Son of God. He says, unto the perfect man, maturity. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 13. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed fro and fro by every wind of doctrine, it's like cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So I must look for a place where I'm stable. If I'm not stable, then I'm not in the right place. Then I'm not in the right place. I'm stable, not tossed throw and fro by every wind of doctrine, like cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Are you still in church? Are you still in church? Number one, we said place. Number two, possession. Number three, pasture. Where do you get fed? So he says, whereby lying wait to see, for speaking the truth in love, verse 15, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compounded by which every joint supplies according to the effect of walking in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, I will see what do I produce. I will know my maturity by what I supply to the body of Christ. Now I'm going to ask a question. What are you supplying to the body of Christ? What are you supplying? What are you supplying to the body of Christ? If you're not supplying, that means there's no pasture. I must supply. Don't forget last week, and prior to that, we said your purpose in Christ must have men. That is, it's about men. Your purpose is with men. There must be people that you minister to. Your purpose is tied to people. Don't forget, in the body of Christ, people. In other words, when Paul highlighted Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So I must see that training is an active part of my purpose. Training is an active part. I must find the pasture that gives me training. Not pastor, I said pasture. That gives me training. The kind of training I want to hear. The kind of things I want to hear. We have too many, they call them seeker sensitive places today, that won't do you any good. And they make the services for you. You say, do you like your services to be 2 hours? You say, no. You know, imagine if I was in nursery school, and you asked me whether I went to school to be 5 hours. I said, for what? How many hours do you want to have school? Probably one. I would say, 1 hour every other day. And then, what about your exams? Well, let us set the questions. You mark them. How in the world would a student be telling the trainer what he wants? I would have had law school in 2 days. I've got a golden lecture. Well, you know what? Don't set this one. Don't set it yourself. All right. Is for your good, so that you keep coming to school. That's not going to help you. You need to find the right pastor that is training you. Training is a part of your purpose. Look at the activities there. Do you pray and fast? Not for your own problems. I know you can fast for that one for 60 days. You pray and fast. I'm talking about just training yourself. Training yourself to pray. Just training yourself to pray. I'm a teenager. I was taken out of Ibadan. I was taken to Fiji to just go and pray. And I don't have much problems in my life, save my exams. And then I'm told we're going to pray for 3 days. And you start to pray, and you're praying, and the place has bushes, and you're praying. Oh, you've just been trained. By the time you finish your personal prayer request, in 1 hour, you're done. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. I want 5K. 5K, Father, 5K. Okay. 5K. Mercy, Lord. 5K. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, again, I want to talk to you about, okay, this one should be last Heavenly Father. Let me close up. Heavenly Father, I want to do my master's in Canada. But I know you love me. By the time you're through 1 hour, you're done. Is that not true? So you said, you know, it's very true. Some guys don't like the prayer meetings of church because it has nothing to do about them. So you're praying for, what did you pray for again? The word of God to grow.
They can't even grow without my prayer. Is it not the word of God?
Are you still there? Are you still there, church? See, I'm like, you're praying and fasting. You're trained to pray. And I'm studying the word. I'm in purpose. And I'm reaching the unsaved. I'm serving. Reaching the unsaved. I'm serving. I'm serving others. I'm training myself. Many of us don't know how to relate with people. So in the local church, they help you. Talking about, we are used to saying, good morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. Any problem?
No.
I'm okay. I'm there, not smiling. You want me to smile? Why should I smile? I'm sorry. No, no problem. Don't say sorry. I just asked the question.
But when you are reaching people and you sit down with them, the first 15 minutes, you see, you came to share the word of God with me. You want to do it now?
See, how long do you want to stay? Well, maybe 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Okay, just start first, let's see.
You know, the Bible says, please, one minute, I have something. Let me just, you can be quoting it, I'll be hearing you for a while.
Don't run, that is your training. You're learning to train, you're learning to, because men are tied to your purpose.
Praise the Lord. You know, years ago in our fellowship, one of the sisters came to me and said, ah, pastor. I wasn't pastor then anyway, because she got married. She said,
can you imagine? I went to so-and-so person's house. And he ran away.
I said, you know, in life, when you sow a seed, the harvest is more than the seed. Say, why, sir? Didn't you run away when I came to church? Sir, that's a long time. This is a new time.
I was learning something. You need to learn. You learn it. You learn how to relate to people. So, what your life is about you.
When you wake up in the morning, everything is about you. All I see is me. Who am I doing today? What am I going to do today?
You are thinking about nobody. And as you are going out, you bring out your phone, selfie. So of you, all the pictures on your phone, selfie. That's telling you something. You know somebody, am I looking fine?
You say, it's okay. Are you sure?
Thank you. What are you looking for? Praise the Lord. You know, what about people? So, when you're in the place of pastor, you're being trained to relate with people. Also, there are other things like discipline and order in your life. Your character is being molded. You can't just do anything. Imagine if that fellow in 1 Corinthians 5 wasn't a regular churchgoer. He used to attend services once a month. You know, he's going once a month. And when he's going, he has no Bible. And the usher says, where's your Bible?
And he says, I'm born again. Don't worry. Yeah, I know where everybody is going to give me a Bible. Guys, sit down.
If that was how he was, he first would take his father's wife. He would move to his sister, then his grandmother, and after a while, his mom. Because nobody would tell him. Nobody. Do you have friends who don't have a local church?
Mio!
I don't want anybody to control my life for me.
Eh?
Never. I just go to a church. Perhaps I go to a large church. Nobody will know me. I'll just go in and go out. Church is not, life is not difficult. Heaven is not difficult to enter.
What?
I go to one church and I'll be calling out. Sister, so where are you? They'll be looking at you. No way! Me and my personal Jesus. He's a personal Jesus.
That one didn't go to the cross. It's a personal Jesus.
Imagine. You like that, you say, I'm saved
forever. What? And his life would have been useless. Say what? Say, I can parry anywhere. Some guy left the church. As he left the church, the very first sign, outflowing of his face, he now went to party. Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
You. So you are enjoying living for yourself. What? Someone just says, ah, sister, I don't know, so you took us to Fortress Camp. That was when I was playing and joking.
See, enjoy your life. You have just one life to live. Live it.
You are miserable. You're miserable. That fellow had someone that was saying, stop that brother. Take him out of fellowship. Let nobody eat with him. What is it happening?
He's being trained. Discipline. You can't live life anyhow. Paul, he says in Galatians 5:13,
he says, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but with it, you are using it to serve the flesh. Not using your liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh, but to serve one another in love. Our liberty has limits to serve and to love others.
So the kind of pastor must be the one that will teach you service. In 1 Peter 2:16,
as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness.
You are walking in purpose. Are you there? You are walking in purpose. You must ensure that you have the right pastor. You must be growing.
One thing I've seen in many people who are probably called to the ministry, they stop feeding on the word. They stop it. They stop feeding on the word. Don't do that. Pasture is important for you. You keep fed. You keep getting fed with the word of God.
So, we find the place. We find the possession. We find the pastor.
There are places you can't find yourself. Go and develop spiritually. Imagine years ago, I close. You know, I want to take a responsibility in a place.
It's a denominational church, and I went for their convention in that year, and I taught in the national convention. And the general overseer of the church was there, and the church has been around for many years, and they had, you know, many of their churches and folks were there. So I taught them, I remember they gave me the theme, the Lord's Prayer, and I taught the Lord's Prayer. And I mean, someone said, I scattered the Bible. And I said, our Father who art in heaven, I talked about Father heaven, each thing, one by one. And they liked it. And then they said, alright, we want you to come and start so and so for us. We want you, and they gave me so many activities. And I told them, I'm not meant to be in this church. Because I wasn't going to grow. I wasn't going to grow. So I said, I'm not staying here. And he said, no. I mean, no problem. You can go to other ministries. But you, I said, no, I won't do that. And I stayed off. Because you need to find the right pastor. You need to find the right pastor. You need to find the right pastor. And the right place where you can be trained spiritually. You can't change local churches like you change your phone. It's stupidity. You can't change a local church the way you change your DP. Yeah, this look at, let me change another church. You know, the DP only change DP like 4 times a day. Whatever you are looking for, you will find it. Say amen. You couldn't say amen. 4 times a day. Only you. Same phone. You can't change church like that. Say, you see your CV. January 14, 2006. To June 10. Christ Chapel. June 10. To December. 2006, Christ Embassy.
January 2007. Just going to meetings generally. Till June. June again. Sales Community Church. 2007. We did 1 year. Then he moved on. Another Pentecost International Church. 2 years. Then he moved again. They moved. Then Zoro Zoro Ministries International. A.K.A. Christ the Revelation of God to the Nations. Where we make everything matter. After 2 years, you move again. Come back and ask yourself some questions. Why am I moving? What is moving me? And when will I stop moving? You are gathering moss like a rolling stone. Find the place of pasture. Develop yourself. Hallelujah. In God's purpose and plan, there is a place you can be. And you will develop. And you will grow. Are you there? Are you listening? Amen. Don't forget, money is a bad guy. Never put money first. Don't forget, like we said, your place, where are you? There's a place for your assignment in life. There's a place for your ministry, for God's purpose, for your life. There are gifts you have to discover. Not talent in the natural. Spiritual faculties that you should find out that God has placed in you. That God is stirring up in you. Number 3, the pasture. The right kind of information that you need. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. Put your hands and bless the Lord. Thank you.